Good morning. It is good to be here. So this morning we will conclude our series on the Holy Spirit, and as Sarah mentioned, this was a request that came from the Women's Bible Study Group, and I want to thank them for challenging us to look more closely at the Holy Spirit. I set out to choose a scripture text just on the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and a topic is less enticing to me than a particular scripture passage because picking and choosing gets a little dangerous. But the passages in scripture, we find that there are about 100 times that nearly 100 times that the Holy Spirit is named in scripture. So there are many more verses to explore, and so I challenge each of you to do your own study and learn more about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is experienced and talked about in scripture. So I read through different verses, and even though all of these, there's different ways to talk about the Holy Spirit, a theme that kept coming up was love. So I don't think you'll be disappointed if you continue your own study and learn a little bit more. I eventually decided on the passage this morning from John 14 because of the word that John uses to describe the Holy Spirit. And this word is used just 5 times, and all of them in the New Testament, and all by John. 2 in our verse today, another in chapter 15, another in chapter 16, and then in 1 John 2, when it's used to describe Jesus. And I want to focus mostly on how Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit and less on the actual situation happening in the text. As Rebecca mentioned, like the wind, there's different ways we experience the Holy Spirit in scriptures. Sometimes it's the rushing wind and tongues of fire at Pentecost, or the dove descending upon Jesus at his baptism. But in this text, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as an advocate, helper, counselor, or companion, depending on what translation you have. And as you can see on this picture up here, all of those are kind of some of the prominent ones. The comforter, helper, counselor is a little lighter in the gray. And then also even in the in these verses, it talks about the Spirit of truth. So those are all ones that we often find. But as we know, when things get translated from one language to another, there's always a risk of something being lost in translation. And so I wonder if this is one such time when our English words just don't capture the full picture. The Greek word that is being translated is parakletos, which can be broken down into two sections. Para, meaning beside or alongside, and kaleo, to call. So parakletos may in this sense function relationally as a helper, advocate, comforter, and those things. But really the most basic meaning is to come alongside another. There's also a legal understanding of parakletos, in which the person acts as an advocate in a court of law. And so I believe that Jesus, in the choice of this word of parakletos, would have probably encompassed both the legal and relational ideas of that word. But this morning, I want to talk about that relational aspect with us. And though the Bible has many translations using advocate and helper and so on, some folks have come up with the English word of paraclete to try and retain as much of that meaning as possible. So when Jesus is talking to the disciples, he's telling them about the Holy Spirit, and he says that God will send another parakletos, another one to come alongside them. Jesus has served this role up until this point with the disciples. In 1 John 2, 1, Jesus is named as the parakletos. He has literally been by their side, has been their companion. He has shown them and taught them how to live and how to love. And he tells them, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and the parakletos will help you to do that. And before we get too concerned about the list of do's and don'ts of those commands to prove to Jesus that we love him, remember in Matthew 22, an expert of the law said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What a wonderful commandment that we are called to live into. On one hand, it can seem so simple, and on the other hand, a seemingly impossible task. Have we seen the world recently? And yet, we have a Parakletos that is available to be at our side by simply asking to help us live out this commandment. Because sometimes we feel like we have to get things a little more right in our lives, or have a little better understanding of this or that, or be in a better place with God for this whole Holy Spirit thing to work out right. I really appreciated what one author said about this text of Scripture today, and she said this: "The promise of the Spirit does not come to completely faithful, courageous people already loving one another and the world boldly, already worshiping in spirit and truth. It comes in the midst of confusion and fear. Jesus makes the promise of the Spirit emerging from the mutual love of the Father and Son for one another and for us, into which they and we are invited, at the very moment when such grace seems most beyond their grasp and ours. In this text, Jesus tells them that simply in their love for this person that they know, they are opening their hearts to the presence of God in them in the form of another advocate, the Spirit of Truth, who will guide them and embolden them for love." A really great reminder. Jesus and the disciples have become a community that was going to drastically change very quickly. Even though Jesus was trying to prepare the disciples for what was going to happen, they didn't have a depth of understanding of this change. Jesus was telling them that the Spirit of Truth would now be with them, so they could remain a community, one that would continue to be joined together by the presence of God among them through the Holy Spirit, who would be at each of their sides. And because the Spirit is in and around each of them, they too have this power to be at one another's sides. Each of us are on our own journeys in life, where we experience joy, sorrow, knowledge, doubt, fear, freedom, and everything in between. Because our belief in Jesus Christ and his promise of the Parakletos, not only do the disciples, but also us, we too are a community of the Spirit who is called to our sides, the same Spirit that was beside Philip, Peter, Mary, and Martha, guides us towards the work of loving and living like Christ. We are a community of the Spirit, and because of the Spirit of Truth that is at our sides, we can also act as advocates, helpers, companions, and comforters to those around us because of the Holy Spirit. I've been asked before how I hear the voice of God in my life. And for a long time, I didn't like to answer that question because I'm not one of those people who hears God's voice audibly or in my head. There might be other voices in my head, but those I've discovered those aren't normally God. But I have learned that being asked that question and not having that answer is okay. Because for me, I hear the voice of God through others. On more than one occasion in my life, I've had someone say, "You're going to do such and such, or you're going to go to this place." And it's never in a "this is what you're going to do" demanding way, more of inviting me to be open to an opportunity that I might not even be aware of yet. And so I just want to say that I'm grateful for those people who have listened to the nudging of the Spirit to name those things in my own life. To me, that's a beautiful way of living out a community of the Spirit. So I would challenge each of us to notice how the Spirit is alongside us. Maybe through a feeling of peace, a song, the sun shining on your face, or another person speaking love to you. Because sometimes we can know in our head that Jesus has said he will never leave us and that the Spirit is with us and can quite literally be called upon to be at our side. Yet in the midst of life's up and downs, our hearts can struggle to see it, feel it, or experience the Parakletos, the one at our side. So what I'd like to do this morning is offer a time of anointing for everyone here this morning. For some of you, this might feel like an answer to prayer. For others, it may feel scary or uncomfortable. You're not required to participate, but I want to make so that you know that you are all invited. We hope this opportunity this morning is a reminder of the physical presence of the Holy Spirit with each of us and in presence with our community. For some of you, you might be seeking healing in your body, in your heart, or mind, or in a relationship. You're also invited to receive anointing on behalf of another who might be hurting. God knows the desires of your heart, and we invite you to bring those forward this morning for God to receive them. We will plan to anoint you on the forehead unless you bring forth your hand, in which we can anoint on the top of your hand. And as I said, this invitation is for everyone, young and old. Sarah and I will be here at the front, and you can proceed down the center like we do for communion in two lines, receive anointing, and then return to your seats. After we have all received anointing, we will have our song of response.